Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we're talking about Space Amoeba.
1970.
Eiichiro Honda, who continues to be my favorite director of all time.
Yeah, definitely, for sure.
As far as the show's concerned. It's funny when I started taking what's up?
I had the also AKA.
Oh, yeah.
Gezora Ganymedes Kamiba's Decisive Battle, Giant Monsters of the South Seas.
Got it. Is it an acronym?
That's an awesome title.
I realized when I started taking down my notes that there's an amoeba emoji. Did you know that?
I did not know.
Because when you type in amoeba, it automatically, you know, has a little emoji on the side where if you can, like, pick
right.
it. It's like a little green, splotchy, blobby emoji. It's kind of cool. This movie, straight out of the gate, is awesome.
You get monsters in the credits.
Yeah. And before that, crazy xylophone music. And then, like, after the credits, some great shots of a model rocket ship.
Oh, yeah. Oh, great. It's
so
model
good.
Rocket in space. Yeah.
And then the capsule in space. And, a creature. After just watching The Blob, I was like, oh my gosh, this movie has Blob 2, which is the space amoeba, which was confusing at first, but as the movie goes on, I figure out what's going on. But this capsule is like engulfed and gets penetrated by this blue, sparkly sort of blob, and then it turns around and comes back to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And when we get back to Earth, we get a model airplane.
Yeah, like a model passenger jet. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I did like the model work in this a lot. Because mm-hmm. one thing, you know, I guess you know what it is because these are smaller monsters.
Mm-hmm. That's
always. They had to model, the models had to be bigger, essentially. Yeah. And there was, because I thought like the way they did the palm trees was really good too.
Yeah, that stood out. Like the beach stuff looked amazing.
Really beautiful. So the way they had like clouds that the plane was flying through, mm-hmm. really great effects.
And then Akira Kubo reappears, who we've seen a lot of lately. He was in Son of Kong. And he wears, I believe, or the Son of Godzilla. He wears the same yellow Hawaiian shirt in that. And he's the head rocket guy in Destroy All Monsters, where he also wears like the yellow fighter jet thing outfit. But yeah, he's been in the last like four of the last five movies we've done, or three of the last four, or something like that. And he's becoming one of my favorites.
Yoshio Tsuchiya and Kenji Sahara,
mm-hmm.
who've been in tons of these movies yeah. as well. And I even found out that Yoshio Tsuchiya, he played Dr. Mita, but he was cast originally as Obata. And he asked he basically convinced them to switch parts.
Hmm. Obata was the bad guy, right? He was like
Obata's the guy that gets infected, basically.
Yeah.
Kind
of had similar shades to like Matango a bit when he became evil.
You know, when I started watching the movie, the guy who was the editor of the paper or whatever, I was like, man, that guy sounds like Mickey Dolenz. So I went to IMDb just to like find out.
Uh huh.
Like if any of the voice actors would be listed, and they weren't. However, when I was scrolling through it, there was tons of listings for Native Girl, Native. And I was like, oh no.
Yeah. They mentioned natives, and I was like, uh-oh, here we go. But I think the natives in this movie are just incredibly tan.
Yeah,
I feel like you can get away with saying that.
They're doing like a Polynesian thing, so it's in a way it's
yeah. It's not like Godzilla versus King Kong where
right.
they have the Afro wigs.
Yeah.
Or the Gamera movie where it's like extra gross. They just seem a little tan. Like they live on an island and they get a lot of sun. I think I'm okay.
Speaking of which, when Yoshio Tsuchiya walks in, there's a great shot of his face, and there's like this moment where he gets recognized, and I was like, oh yeah, from Destroy All Monsters. he kind of felt like he was playing that.
Yeah.
It's like, and you remember me? I'm in this movie too. Okay, so then, the premise is that this guy the probe disappeared completely.
Yeah.
And this guy happens to be flying on a plane and sees that probe crash in the middle of the ocean.
Looked awesome. It was a cool shot.
He tells his boss that he's got a story to chase about this probe. And his boss says, that's not true. That's not a true story. And so he's pissed and he walks off. But then this other guy says, hey, listen, we want to develop this place for like hotels and stuff in this island called like Sergio Island. and we want someone to take like some pictures of the scenery and stuff so we can like sell this island. And the guy goes, and he makes a mark on the map and he goes, oh, how'd you know where the island was or whatever? And he's like, no, that's where I saw the thing is. Coincidentally, it's the exact same place.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's like, this is kind of where I got confused. Well, they go to the island, right? And the natives have talked about giant monsters.
Yes.
So I'm like, well, what does this have to do with the space amoeba? If they already have giant monsters, how is this going to work?
Right.
I don't understand. I didn't understand where that storyline was coming from.
Right. Because how long have they been talking about these giant monsters?
Yeah. And the space amoeba, the probe, landed in the ocean a day before, 2 days before.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, not like generations.
There's some things in there that if you delve too hard, there are definitely holes.
Yeah. We get a glimpse into the island, and there's a couple of fishermen that get attacked by what they call is a giant octopus.
But it looks like a cute little water elephant.
Yeah, it when it's in the water, it kind of looks like an octopus. When it's walking around, it definitely looks like a squid.
It's a squid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely a squid.
But we get our two favorite things in this scene. Giant tentacles, giant like prop tentacles, and tiny puppet guys.
Yeah.
And maybe that's like one of the reasons why we like Ashura Honda so much. He puts a lot of that in his movies.
It is. Yeah, it's great. The tentacle work was really good in this.
There's a couple of different methods, too. There's like, you know, just a giant puppet tentacle, but then they have like some animated tentacles.
The animated tentacle I didn't like as much. First of all, it was green.
It didn't look like it, but it moved kind of cool.
It didn't match. It was fast, but it was great. Because as soon as someone was in the tentacle, they were screaming.
Yeah. This movie's great. This movie's awesome. Because we don't get a lot of giant octopus. I think Virus from Gamera and then
there've been a lot of use of real octopuses.
Yeah, and Godzilla versus King Kong
in the place of a giant octopus. But this squid costume is amazing.
I kept trying to find the actor's legs, and they were hitting really well.
It's the two of the tentacles are his legs.
Yeah.
Haruo Nakajima was the actor in the outfit.
Okay.
And when he would walk, he would kind of like shimmy his body so that all the tentacles would be kind of swaying and moving along with his legs.
And it looked like maybe through rods or something, he had control of the two front tentacles to like
grab
things.
Other people might have been controlling the tentacles.
Okay.
But that's interesting. I thought it possible they were puppet, they were like marionetted. But rods could, I could buy rods as a thing just because that's kind of seemed like that might be what the guy who's in the turtle does later. Like when he's I don't know if we want to get we could save him for when he shows up, I guess.
Talk about the turtle in a little bit.
The squid, but I like the squid costume a lot too. Also, the squid costume was in two pieces. I saw that where it was like the top, like you could do the legs,
the eyebrow, the brow was separated from the eyes, and would kind of shift around, which kind of gave it a neat look. It made it look like it was supposed to be segmented, kind of like armor.
It definitely looks like that kind of bell part of a cuttlefish.
I think the only thing I didn't care for in the design was the eyes. I feel like they just look like they're painted onto the latex or whatever. If there was some sort of shiny glass or if they're,
Well, it's funny you should say that because I was like, the eyes are disappointing. I thought so too, but it turns out there was a mechanism that you could move the eyes originally, but that mechanism broke and they didn't pause to fix it. They just kept shooting with the broken eyes. And according to the producer, that part of the reason perhaps why they couldn't continue it is because the guy who was in charge of special effects passed away that same year. And basically when he was around, he could throw some weight around with Toho and be like, no, we have to stop. We need to fix this, kind of like that. But that when he wasn't there anymore, they didn't quite, I think, have that kind of clout to be able to, like, stop production so they can make it work.
Okay.
The guy who had passed away was Eiji Tsubure.
But everything else looked great.
I liked his look a lot. Yeah. I thought the way the legs, like the way the feet were in it, was amazing. When he's swimming, that has to just be a puppet, right?
Or they're just they're just pulling it through the water.
That seems way too dangerous to submerge that giant bell head.
Yeah.
All that foam rubber just soaking up water.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no way that could be a person inside of that part.
Yeah.
There were great. I mean, the costumes are really nice in this movie.
Mm-hmm. I think that the crab monster looked better than Ebera. I thought he
crab monster looked so good.
He had more personality with his moving mouth and eyes and all the legs moving around. Kind of
like tufts of fur, basically. Yeah. Like it was really great looking.
They kind of had a look of like the Gartham Crystal or Orga. Where they had a bunch of like little legs, like that wiggle while the thing. And then the turtle looked great too.
Turtle was kind of silly. He had the
pokey head.
the mecha neck.
Yeah. We saw him before. He was in, Godzilla Tokyo SOS, which was one of our first episodes. No, it was a scene where a giant turtle.
Was he the dead one?
Yeah, he washed up on shore.
Oh, he was the body. Oh, that's him.
With had the giant Godzilla claws in it. And those are his only two appearances are in this movie and that one.
What was it with his tongue? It was like, was that a spike coming out of his mouth?
At first I thought it was a spike. And I'm like, oh, was that his tongue? And I think it's a spike. Kind of like the alien from Alien.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. So
the squid's afraid of bats.
Yeah, bats mess with them.
And the bats looked really cool sometimes, and sometimes they just look like bats on strings. But
that's part of that because I like there's like Hammer movies.
I like both of those.
Yeah, good looking bats and crab looking bats.
Perfect.
Are all good bats.
Yeah.
Also the squid doesn't like porpoises.
Yeah, and when I saw him afraid of the bats, I was like, well, that's stupid. But then when he was afraid of the dolphins, I was like, okay, cool. Now I get it. I'm way ahead of the movie now.
Okay,
I understand what's going on. That whole sequence where they're diving to find the sunken capsule was really neat. It's cool that they actually had like a full size capsule underwater, and there were some kind of comp shots with the divers and the squid.
Some shots of like a model capsule.
Oh my gosh!
To show like rocks and stuff, and then the shots that were up close with an actual life-size caps. It was great.
Yeah, and then the monster with the tiny puppet scuba guys.
Yeah.
I like that.
Okay, so like I was going to say there's really good tentacle acting in this. Mm-hmm. And there is. I mean, there's movement of tentacle that is really good, but what I mean by tentacle acting in this context is wrapping a tentacle around you and acting like you're being crushed.
Yeah, like Ed Wood.
There was tons of it.
Yeah.
Tons of playing with the tentacle.
Yeah. There was a lot of strings that I noticed pulling the tentacles, but I didn't care. You're an actor. How fired up would you be if you were told that you were going to do a scene where you had to do tentacle acting?
I would be so excited.
I mean, how would you just,
this is,
would you
this
get like a finoodle thing. And just practice like nonstop for like months?
Are you kidding me? My childhood was practicing shit like that. You'd get those giant, long stuffed cheap snakes from like the Orange County Fair.
Uh-huh.
And I'd be attacked by snakes all the time as a kid.
Okay.
Or just like do it with a sheet. Just like the old, like basically, watching like Tarzan in the afternoons.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have to like wrestle a python and then stab it with your knife.
Yeah.
That is very rare, I think, in modern filmmaking it's that you would CG. Get to do that. You'd be like, okay, this tennis ball is the thing. Now, writhe. You know, you wouldn't get it.
Yeah, but I feel like with the new Star Wars movies coming out, where they try to include like more practical, like maybe tentacles will come back.
Yeah, it would be like, is Guillermo del Toro directing it? Then yeah. I think I'm gonna like this a lot. So like the octopus is super cold because it's frostbite. Like his tentacle.
Oh yeah.
All the tentacle circles were like frostbite burns on the guy.
Yeah.
There's
there's a cool match shot where they show like the sand where the squid went back into the ocean, and you could kind of see like footprints mixed with slidey tentacle marks.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. That match shot.
There's a part where Obata accused them that says, "You're all suffering from monster phobia."
Yeah.
And it's like, hold on, phobia is an irrational fear. I think it's perfectly okay to be afraid of monsters.
I guess so.
When they exist.
Yeah.
And then there's that one. Okay, so I didn't love the native that went by Rico.
Okay.
I thought the fact that they called him Rico
but he
was pretty bad.
Yeah, he was pretty much out of it the whole movie.
Yeah, he gets taken by the octopus,
uh-huh.
and then
anytime he gets like, stuffing flashed in his eyes, yeah.
And then his girlfriend shows up, and she shows up, and the guy's like, you know, that's a shame. They were probably lovers, like they're just
yeah. But he's still in
so
shock.
So much like colonialism, kind of this sense of that, where they're talking about how like. Oh, he speaks our language so well. And like, oh yeah, this we used to occupy this during the war. And the natives don't hate us about it.
but what's funny is like that dude Rico is like in shock. He always gets freaked out when someone flashes lights in his eye. But yeah. he's shocked, but his girlfriend still wants to go on with the wedding.
Yes.
And so they kind of force this dude who's in shock into this marriage.
Right.
Into the ceremony where they play, I think it's Mothra native music. It's music from either Mothra or King Kong versus Godzilla.
Oh, I didn't recognize.
Yeah, I think it's Mothra. I'm pretty sure it's Mothra, but then what's his name? Akira Kubo.
Who takes the picture?
Takes a picture of him and he freaks out.
Yeah, freaks out again.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, I know we already kind of discussed it, but the whole sequence of starting with an animated tentacle and cutting to a doll in the tentacle was, it's like so nice they did it twice.
Yeah. showed up again.
I also liked him destroying the village and the palm trees.
Oh, yeah.
And see, this is part of where, like, the size of him is cool, because he's just barely over the size of the hut.
Yeah.
So it's pretty formidable. It's kind of like in the midway level of the Frankenstein when he's up against the boat, you know, where it's kind of fun to see, like, a different comparative size.
Yeah. Or like Dimogen, kind of the first one kind of had some of that too, where, you know, the buildings come up to like chest high, which those are
right.
Like,
Dimogen, perfect example.
Yeah. Like, I would want to go on that set as opposed to one where I'm like bigger than like a skyscraper. Like, I want to go on one where I'm like as big as a hut and, you know, maybe a little bit bigger than palm trees. Cause it's just, yeah, I like those scaled down monsters. Or like even in, we just saw Son of Godzilla, Son of Godzilla with the Kamacaris going around taking out palm trees and stuff.
So they kill Gezora.
Okay.
And he sinks. He basically ends up just kind of like dropping into the ocean. And are those the space amoebas then? The blue glitter stuff?
Yes.
And then they end up infecting a crab.
Yeah.
And
crab is so cool looking.
It's so cool. And then they blow the crab up.
Yeah.
And there's chunks of crab all over the place. Mm-hmm.
And then
space amoebas jump into Obata.
Yeah.
And I was like, how come he didn't grow?
Yeah, I don't know. But the thing is, Obata also is controlling the giant turtle. So maybe just some of
Obata
the space
amoebas.
It seemed like there was a point where...
At some point, suddenly the clump of space amoebas splits off and infects other things.
But they only needed
This part starts getting really wishy-washy because it's like suddenly there's another crab.
Yeah.
And it's like, we need more crab stuff. You know, it's kind of like we blew up the crab. Hey, there's tons of crabs.
Yeah. So I feel like maybe the space amoeba, they wanted to take over Amada, but they didn't need to use that much of the space amoebas to do that. So they had him. And then, like, the rest of them went off and made a big turtle and another crab.
Yeah, unless it's like there was other things being made at the same time. Listen, this is the part you're just going to have to get past and to enjoy the movie.
I like Amada's look, where he had, like, kind of the blue eyeshadow under, like, the circles under his eyes. And he looked kind of, like,
messed
up.
You could tell he was... He was different because they lit him from below.
Yeah.
To give him the scary face.
Yeah.
The space amoeba persona, though, I thought was kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
When they're basically talking to him through his mind.
Yeah. He sounded like Zegra. Like when he talked like he was an alien from a different planet monotone. And yeah.
Right.
We shall conquer the earth and all that kind of nonsense.
So the plan to defeat the space amoebas is let's just catch a whole bunch of bats.
Yes.
And that'll take care of it somehow. So then they go hunting for bats, checking all the caves. Mm-hmm. And all the bats have basically burnt up.
Yeah.
And it turns out that that's what Obata's been doing. He's been lighting fires in caves to burn all the bats.
Which makes sense.
Introduction to Kamoebus.
Kamoebus, who is the turtle.
A turtle that can extend his neck.
Yeah, just a little bit. He's kind of like Ram, not Ram Man. He's kind of like Mechaneck. There you go.
Yeah.
I like the design. I think for a crawling kaiju... It's kind of nice because the knees are hidden a little bit more. I feel like, you know, like Angulus and Baragon.
Yeah, they definitely hit the knees better.
But it's cool because it's like an armor. It's like it's more of a kind of a rigid suit. It's not like it doesn't look as foam rubbery as some of the other ones. which is kind of cool.
And so like I imagine him in there and he has a thing that he can push the neck out and pull the neck back in. Yeah. That's kind of like his little gag, and then he can stick the tongue out and stick the tongue back in.
Yeah.
There's a part where they said astro quasars, and I was like, is that what those are? Is that what the space amoebas is?
I think that's the race.
That's the people,
yeah.
Or the whatever you would, the beings that are the blue,
yes,
stuff.
Yes, the blue sparklies.
Are astro quasars.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they're going to kill the people now because they found out the secret of like the sonic sort of frequency of the dolphins and the bats. So it's a fight to the finish. They gotta. But Zomato is trying to break free from the spell.
Obata.
He's trying to break free from the spell of the space amoebas.
Yes. This is the best speech. This is when the Dr. Mita is explaining what's going on.
Did you write it down?
I did.
Okay, good.
I kept pausing it and rewrite and need to write okay. it. Even if a man's cells are taken out by an alien, still has a chance. Man is more than just the structure of his cells. It's something that can't be explained. It's his soul. Every man has a soul. And that part of our friend is fighting the space creatures.
Perfect.
So good.
So good. And it's a good, like, I
that
like
that part of our friend. It's so great.
That whole climax of that storyline. Because the thing is, when he turns into space amoeba, when the space amoebas take over his body, I assume that he was going to do some underhanded stuff behind their back and they weren't going to know. But they pretty much figured it out right away.
Well, he's real obvious about it.
Well, yeah. But but I thought that maybe there's going
to
be some.
He's holding out a clump of matches to him. He's like, I'll do it.
But I thought it was going to give us an opportunity to see some sort of, you know, underhanded stuff. Yeah. But not so much.
Yeah, like to be like the mole in the group.
Because that's how it was in Matango, right?
Yeah.
She kind of was doing a little bit of that.
Yeah, convince people to turn over. Yeah, because that was part of it. Because like all like the astro quasars are having this whole discussion with Obata when they take over his body.
Uh-huh.
By the way, after seeing that part with Obata and how he has to kind of like where he's doing the thing where he's fighting the space amoebas in his body and he's like to grab to open up to take that thing off the cave that hole to keep the bats in, and he had to do all this stuff, like all these like facial tics and stuff, and like, he's laying on the ground, he's laying face up, he's like paralyzed, he can't move, and the voice of the aliens are talking to him. They're like, you get the honor of being the first person, first human that we take over and infect. How great is that for you? You know, it's kind of like this whole thing that he's got to sit and do. And I go, maybe that's why the other guy's like going, hey, don't you think you'd rather play this part?
Oh, yeah.
You get to do all this really cool stuff. Yeah, that's part of my guess.
Maybe.
Yeah. So the bats fly out. And
they kind of just hover around a little
hovering,
bit.
Hovering over the crabs and the turtle. And as they say, they're going crazy. They're going back to their natural biological instincts, which naturally crabs and turtles always find each other.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a part where Kimibus does this thing where he extends his neck, ends up flipping the crab up onto his back, and then rearing up and knocking the crab off.
Yeah.
What's the name of the crab? Oh, Ganymus. Now, I guess they're both Ganymus.
I guess.
This is like having more than one Camacris.
Yeah, you just call them the same thing.
There's a part where the crab spits foam on the turtle.
Uh-huh.
What?
I don't know what it does to it.
Too much.
Yeah, it's like it's only defense and it's like not a very good one.
This is just...
Is there a shot where they're like watching this happen and some of the foam like drops in front of the actors? I
remember that's possible. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think after it hits him... It cuts to them. I think you're right.
But it doesn't seem to burn him or do anything.
No, it's... Yeah.
It's just foam. Eh.
I'm going to look it up.
All powers can't be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of the disappointment... Okay, so... Yeah, I don't think there's... Because they say all these animals essentially are just... this. a regular animal that's just been really big. That's grown, that it's just a grown animal. It doesn't supposedly it doesn't really get extra powers from it. Kind of a shame, but I guess there's like, I don't know, like if you ever picked up a crab, if you ever saw a living crab, they do make bubbles in their mouth when you're looking up at them.
So,
but that might be because they're suffocating. Who knows? But that could be it. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. We haven't seen it before. It's a new thing. I don't think we've seen a
kaiju
foam. I think we saw Godzilla foam in like Gigan or something when he was being strangled or something. One of those 70s ones. But not as a...
Yeah, if only there was like, you know, if only it did something. Like if he had more of a reaction, like if it made him just suck his head back in just because, I guess both. Cause I don't think Ibra had any special ability either other than just being a crab. Yeah. Ibra, I think, used his front pinchers better than, this guy did.
Yeah.
He had trouble kind of grabbing onto the guy. Yeah. Their big fight was cool. But then it got real confusing as to who was getting the upper hand here.
Yeah.
Because there's times where the claw was on the neck of the turtle, and then suddenly the turtle is biting that same claw.
Yeah.
And something happens where the turtle ends up basically in the volcano, and he's holding onto the claw to keep himself... Like, he's kind of holding on to the claw to try to not go into the volcano.
And then he's clawing. I can't tell if he's clawing to get out of the volcano or to break apart and erode the volcano so that the crab falls in. But it was kind of doing both.
Yeah, it seemed like he was trying to crawl out.
Okay.
He ends up letting go and falling in, and somehow the crab just flips into the volcano anyways. Yeah. And that takes care of them. And then it's like, oh, yeah, because they were super cold.
Yeah. There's nothing that can survive the heat of the volcano, including a space amoeba.
It's stronger than an Abo.
Yeah.
because they figured they had an aversion to heat because they're super cold. Although that was only kind of when it was an octopus that we knew that it was super cold. But it could be, we just can assume that basically, yeah. So then them going into there ends up being like, okay, so it must be completely destroyed in a volcano, and then Abada goes and jumps in the volcano too to sacrifice himself
for all of humanity. I wonder if there's an alternative, if they could have got him in a cave with bats to get the space amoeba out of him,
catch him in a jar.
Yeah. Or a little like net or a Ziploc bag or something, like, and then throw that into the volcano,
like a lightning bug.
Yeah,
that happens, but then it ends on this lighter note.
Yeah,
where they see the ship and they're like, hey, oh man, I don't have my camera, no one will believe us.
Well, what's funny is they act like, oh, they're rescued now, but I mean, there really are no more threats,
right?
the crab, or both crabs, the turtle, the squid, and the space amoebas are all dead. And everyone is doing okay, but still are happy to be rescued by the giant cruise ship going by.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed this movie. It's completely different than I thought it was going to be.
It's not my favorite Ishira Honda, but I did enjoy the monsters quite a bit.
Yeah, for some reason...
I thought the monster design was really good. It's the best octopus...
Uh-huh.
As far as costume goes, just by comparison, like that weird octopusy thing in the Gamera movie,
Varus
the squid with the sharp point. I love the costume design so much on that guy, and the little and all the bits in the crab are really strong.
Yeah, I think the turtle.
It's all right.
Yeah, better than some Gamera suits, but we have yet to see like kind of the newer Gamera suits. The more modern ones. But I for some reason, I just assumed that this was a movie about space. A squid.
Oh.
I just assumed it was going to be a movie about a squid in space.
That's a good point. I didn't even put that together. You're right. You'd think it should have taken place in space.
Yeah.
Or one of those scenarios where they keep going back and forth from space and Earth.
Yeah. So I just assumed it was a crew on a spaceship fighting a giant squid. Because I knew there was a giant squid in this movie. I didn't know about the other two monsters until the opening credits. But it's cool. I mean, I like, you know, we've seen a lot of these movies where they're just on an island with monsters. And we got three really cool monsters. I think Son of Godzilla was the last one we saw where we had Godzilla, Minya, Kamakris, Kamunga. I'll never get them straight ever.
That's great. Yeah,
it's cool. Like
Amanda.
Yeah, I know.
Amanda's nothing like them.
I know. Like it's just the names.
You want Amanda to be the spider?
Oh yes.
So somehow in your brain, Amanda's the better spider name.
Yeah, Kamunga isn't a spider name to me.
No, it sounds like a gorilla name.
Yeah, it does. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It was complete. It threw me off a little. Like I didn't know what to expect, and I wasn't expecting this. But luckily, it was better than I was anticipating. And
I thought it was a better assemblage of, like, I thought the parts of it were stronger than the whole of it for me. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely good stuff in it.
Yeah, the miniatures were great. All the special effects stuff were great. And I liked the Doctor being taken over by space amoebas. I like that. It was an interesting storyline. I like his arc and him. He's a bad guy. He's kind of a dick to begin with because he steals the plans for the resort hotel. And then he gets taken over.
Yeah, he's just shady. Yeah.
But he, you know, he gives the ultimate sacrifice. So it's a nice story, but it's a little simple and there's not too much going on in it, but I like all the,
yeah, I like thatched roof destruction,
palm trees, miniature palm trees. And
yeah, there's a great shot of the crab just behind palm trees, just whacking at him. It was really cool.
Yeah.
So the composite shots were kind of, the color looked a little different though.
Yeah.
When he's in the distance. But I mean, yeah, it's fine. The movie's fine. Oh man. It just reminded me. We were going to Chinatown and there was like a whole parade, all this kind of stuff. It was hard to find parking. And so if you park at Walmart, as long as you buy, mm-hmm, if you buy like $20 worth, so you're just like, right, what can we buy at Walmart? We get free parking. So I walked over, let's check out their toys, and they had a single vinyl Mecha Godzilla.
Oh.
That was a Bandai soft vinyl Mecha Godzilla. Like one of the 6-inchers.
Yeah.
Not one that I have. And I was like, oh, boom, done. Great. And they also had this gorilla. Like a soft vinyl gorilla that was just kind of like a generic gorilla, but I like gorillas too. So anyway, so we just kept walking around being like, I bought a gorilla and I make a Godzilla
for parking
validation. Yeah,
that's funny. That's cool.
I was like, oh, who would have thought?
Yeah, I never see stuff like that in the wild.
I know. That's part of it. I was like, what? And there's only one. So when there's only one of somebody, I'm like, what's wrong with it? And so I was checking it, and there's like one of the arms wasn't moving. And so I was like, but maybe it's just kind of like when like the paint.
Yeah, it kind of sticks.
The paint kind of sticks it. So I kind of gave it a little twist and finally I loosened it up and that was fine. Then when I got it home and I took him out of the packaging, then I was like, oh, it looks like there's a piece missing from his tail, but it's not. It's just got kind of a nub tail.
Yeah. Wish I found stuff. I don't see anything out in the wild.
Yeah, I didn't even think that Walmart would be a thing to check for that.
Yeah. Huh.
It was like every now and again, it's like, it's very rare, yeah, in the wild. It's very rare, period, to find like a Godzilla toy that's in a price range that...
Yeah.
Doesn't, it doesn't bother you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, the fact that it was like under $20, I was like, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Next week, you want to talk about next week or next episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are bi-weekly.
Finally, we're making right.
Yeah, we're going to be watching Daikaiju Baron.
Yeah.
Which is the Japanese version of Baron the Unbelievable with the butterflies, I guess. I'm excited to see this. Another Ishiro Honda movie. You can check it out over at kaijupod.com, along with our Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. And
you know how like we're spacing out the Godzilla movies now?
Yeah, we really have to space them out.
I was like, how many Ishiro Hondas do we have left? Like, do we need to space those out?
Maybe.
Just because, you know, we know those are pretty consistent.
Maybe. Well, there's a few Toho movies. I don't know if they're Ishiro Honda or not, but let me just look real quick.
Hey, do you subscribe to Shudder?
Shudder? No.
I had for a little bit, but I don't anymore. But I think I'm still on their email newsletter stuff. Because they just got, I think it was them. I think someone just got Big Man Japan.
Oh, I tried watching that once. It was tough.
Yeah, I'm not ready.
It's on our list.
Because he's big.
Yeah, I think we'll get to other stuff before that. I mean, we have a huge dent out of our kaiju list. I mean, a huge dent. So we're getting there, you know?
Yeah.
There's
so many. It's gone so far out there that there are times when I was like, I come across a movie and I was like, did we see this one?
Yeah. This is episode 57. We've watched 50, well, at least 57 movies, just in the regular ones, not counting like, you know, Colossal and I think Rampage bonus. Showed up as bonus episodes. So
right.
I mean, it's crazy that we're, you know, how much we've plowed through. It doesn't seem like we've been doing it that long, but we've made a huge chunk. I mean, we're going to get to a point where we're just like, we only have like one Godzilla movie left. So,
oh gosh.
And it's going to be like 1998. So it might be one of those things where we do 1998 sooner than later just to,
yeah, so we don't want that to be the last one.
So we can hold on to other Godzilla movies.
Yeah, maybe we should just rank them in what's left based on, like, our anticipation.
Yeah, and the thing that sucks is, like, Godzilla Raids Again and Gigantus the Fire Monster are, like, two versions of the same movie, the Japanese version and an Americanized version.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So it might be good just to do those separately but far away from each other.
Oh, okay.
Like, kind of like Daikaiju Baron on our next episode. And, you know, we can give us a little time between those. But, yeah, it's we're coming down to, like, I mean, what's great is we haven't done Godzilla versus Mothra. We haven't done the original Ghidorah, the three-headed monster. There's a couple of Godzilla movies from the 90s that we haven't watched. Godzilla and Mothra, Battle for Earth. And Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2. And that's kind of pretty much it. there's like Godzilla Final Wars, Godzilla 2014, Godzilla 98. And then the couple of Netflix ones, which I don't think we're itching to get to. So, yeah, Godzilla is becoming really scarce. And same with Gamera. We have the trilogy left. And then there's Gamera the Brave in 2006. So there's only four Gamera movies left. So even if we do get through Ishiro Honda movies, I think we have a lot more. Because there's things like Half Human, Battle in Outer Space, Gorath, Atragon. Like there's stuff. But
yeah, there is. But
the thing is, like, we just watched The Blob and Space Amoeba in this chunk. They're both totally awesome and entertaining, so it's not, you know, we're not scraping the bottom of the barrel. Like, we're not even close to that. I think.
Yeah, and there's, like, this stuff that's, like, oh, the weird one. Like, I have these ones that have been sitting in my
like
Amazon shopping list forever just in case we need to get them, like the Pulgasari.
Oh, yeah. That Pulgasari they did on the new Mystery Science Theater.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
And Aegon, the atomic monster. Yeah. All the ones that like to say mightier than Godzilla.
Yeah. Yeah. There's an Ultraman movie coming out this year, which looks cool. So, I mean, I think we're fine. I think I don't really know any movies that we've just flat out just like hated. Like, we could find stuff in any of these movies that we have left. I think Gamera Super Monster was a definite low point.
Holy crap, I just found another one.
Did you find a new movie?
Mammoth Kong versus Gecko Common.
What is that?
Have you heard of that?
No.
I just put into Amazon Mightier Than Godzilla to see what would happen.
Okay.
Mammoth Kong.
Oh, look at him. He's scary.
Mammoth Kong, a giant space ape.
Oh, he's got like, he looks like King Kong, but he's got like tusks and a horn on his head. Oh, Gecko Kamen is like a, like one of those like Kamen Riders. So he's like a dude with a cape.
Okay. This is a movie though, right?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's,
well, there's a DVD.
The Monster Gorilla.
Oh, man. Okay. Oh, yeah. I'll make sure I add that to the list.
1959.
Oh. Oh, wait.
Gecko Common.
Mammoth Kong, episode 2.
Is it TV?
Maybe it's a
runtime is 60 minutes.
Oh.
It's in black and white.
It's on YouTube. Gecko Kamen is.
Gecko Kamen, Kaiju Kongo?
I'm just scrubbing through to see if I see any. I don't see any giant apes.
Mammoth Kong vs. Gecko Kamen, Volume 1. Volume 1.
Maybe it was a TV show and then they took some footage together and made it into a movie.
Oh, maybe.
But hey, I'll watch that too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, there's a huge dent in this. I'd say I don't know how many movies we've had total on here, but just looking at it, we've pretty close to half. That's just me eyeballing it.
Yeah, man, if we get into TV,
that would be tough. That'd be really tough. I mean,
what the hell is The Monster Prince?
What are you?
This is the part where it's like, should we still be recording?
Kaiju Aoji? Are you looking at what I'm looking at?
The one that looks like King Kong?
Oh, well, I just typed... Okay, so I just did a Google search for The Monster Prince.
Yeah.
It's a television series.
Just hit images.
I didn't even hit images. I just saw what's in the corner of my search.
The bird?
There's a bird. There's a monkey. There's a stegosaurus.
Are you sending this through the Skype?
Yeah, I'm sending you on it by text.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, oh my gosh. Did you see the little kid on top of the brontosaurus?
Yes.
Okay.
On his head. Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh my gosh. I just went into image.
Yeah. Did you see those guys that are like, kind of like dragon equivalents of Planet of the Apes?
Oh, I didn't. Whoa. they're like Slee Stacks, but like.
Yeah. Right.
Real,
like,
real dumb looking. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh yeah, they're there. Oh, this is great.
We gotta tap into some of this stuff.
I know, but like, if they turn them into movies, it's perfect. Because we can kind of get a good... But, I mean...
Yeah, I don't know.
It takes me so long to get around to watching the movies. That going through a whole TV series. Because I'll watch Comet, and I'll watch like... They'll have Johnny Sacco on every once in a while. That's fun to watch, but there's probably like 18 seasons of it.
I never watched the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
But I know they've made movies.
They're not good.
Okay.
I watched when it first came out.
Are there big monsters in them?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, so when it came out, I would watch them. They'd be on after school.
Yeah, right.
I was probably in high school, maybe. I'm not really sure. So I was probably not the right demographic, but every episode would end with kaiju footage. It would be, you know, from a Japanese TV show. So the first part's like Saved by the Bell, kind of cheesy teenage fun sitcom-y stuff, and there'd be like an action scene in the middle, but then it would always end with the big kaiju fight, and it'd be guys in rubber suits fighting each other. And then like when they made the movie, it was made in America, and then they kind of CG'd everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't look as cool. So the movies aren't very great. But the show was cool. And I think they're all on Netflix. I don't know if you'd be into it. It's cool watching the monsters, though.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because all the monsters are crazy. But they give them like crazy, like Americanized names. And they're usually puns based on whatever they look like. But yeah, it's definitely dated. Hey, man, if you want to check it out, go for it. But I don't think I put the movies on there.
Okay.
Just not. I don't know. I mean, I could. I mean, yeah. We'll get to the point.
But yeah.
It's either that or Godzilla 1998.
We're probably going to see Godzilla 1998 before we delve too deep.
Yeah, probably.
And just kind
of
like.
To get it out of the way.
Do it and have seen it and be like, all right, we've completed.
Yeah. But what's good is they're still making more Godzilla movies, like mm-hmm. or at least Godzilla King of the Monsters coming out, and then Godzilla yeah. versus King Kong. So that's good. You know, when we started this, that wasn't the case. I guess we had Shin Godzilla, but you know, there hadn't been a Godzilla movie for years. And then like things like Colossus and Rampage and Pacific right. Rim 2 start showing up, and it's like, oh, okay,
yeah,
cool, awesome. So that's fun too. All right. Where are we at? Did we say go to kaijupod.com and all that stuff? I think
go to kaijupod.com.
Yeah.
I don't know if you did.
Yeah. We say it every week.
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. So until next time, what even movie we were talking about.
Space Amoeba.
Oh, I'm going to jump into the volcano and save humanity.
I'm going to put these bats out.
You gotta come up with one-liners when you do that. He was like, batter up.
I was gonna say, I'm gonna extinguish these bats, but that sounds like you're killing them.
Oh, yeah, huh? Well, I mean, yeah.
These flaming bats.